waiting. As I mentioned yesterday, it has a list of cities, rivers, and other locations, as well as the portions of land assigned to each tribe. So I want you to draw a map. I'm not looking for some great work of art, so you don't have to spend hours and hours trying to make a very elaborate artistic creation. The purpose is to familiarize yourself with location and get a Bible atlas, use that, and find these. I will extend the due date of that till Monday, since this is already Wednesday. Friday's on us before we know it. Tuesday. We don't meet Monday. But I'll extend the due date till next Tuesday on that. But turn a map in then. That'll be equivalent of a written assignment. And as I said, I'm not going to quiz you on that, but it will come up on the midterm. I'll have a map question on the midterm. I might just say, with tribal borders, if you compare atlases, Bible atlases, you're going to find differences in exactly where those lines are drawn. The reason for that is, when you go to the book of Joshua, where those borders are described, it describes them by mentioning a lot of places. You know, this tribe goes from here to here to here to here. Some of those places are hard to identify as far as sites. And different geographers have drawn the lines slightly differently. But it's not something of great significance. But the reason I'm saying that is, I may put a map on the screen here of tribal borders that's slightly different from the one you've seen. If you compare atlases, you'll find those slight differences. But the tribes are still, on almost any atlas you'll look at, basically the same. Okay. We were discussing when did Joseph enter Egypt? And we looked at the problem of date, which relates to the problem of the date of the Exodus. And with an early date rule, with an early date view, it would mean that Joseph entered Egypt prior to the time of the Hyksos, during the native Egyptian dynasty. If you take a late date for the Exodus, that affects the date of Joseph in a way that would place his entry into Egypt during the time of the Hyksos. So where we were at the end of the last hour was looking at some of the kinds of arguments that are used to support either an entrance during the time of the Hyksos or an entrance prior to the time of the Hyksos. And I had gone over a few of those points for the idea that Joseph rose to power during the Hyksos rule. That's where we stopped. So let's look at a few of the considerations for the opposite view. That would be arguments favoring Joseph's rise to power prior to Hyksos time. And if he entered Egypt prior to Hyksos time, that's predicated on an early date for the Exodus. Moves back an earlier date for entry into Egypt. I'll mention three things that are pointed out by advocates of this view. Number one, the sentiment of the Egyptian government in Joseph's time as strongly adverse to shepherds is indicative of a native Egyptian dynasty on the throne. In Genesis 46:34, you read, "You should answer, your servants have tended livestock from our boyhood on, just as our fathers did. Then you will be allowed to settle in the region of Goshen, for all shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians." All shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians. Now that statement, some argue, is indicative of a native Egyptian dynasty on the throne. The reason being the idea that the Hyksos were shepherd kings. In other words, that the Hyksos were really oriented towards being shepherds. Now, as I mentioned previously, that explanation for the meaning of the term hyksos is something that's disputed. So, to the degree that you would accept the alternate rendering of hyksos as foreign rulers instead of shepherd kings, that would, to that degree, negate this as a line of argument. But some feel that this is a point in favor of the native Egyptian dynasty, so the earlier entry then. Secondly, question.
In that case, would the hyksos already have been known by Egyptians to despise, and they despise shepherds because of the hyksos, or is that just something that's common to Egyptian culture?
Well, I don't know that there's much extra biblical material that throws light on that, but presumably those who would say it came in during the hyksos time would. You'd be talking about native Egyptians there. It's certainly not an argument. None of these arguments, as I said to begin with, are of a sort that decisively decide this. So it's one of those things that we don't have enough evidence to really determine. A second line of argument, which is really a reversal of one we mentioned in the last class hour, is that the new king who knew not Joseph, who's mentioned in Exodus 1:8, is best understood as a Hyksos ruler. You see, the previous position was the new king who knew not Joseph was a native Egyptian of those that threw the Hyksos out. Now, the argument is the new king who knew not Joseph is a Hyksos ruler who came to power and threw the Egyptians out. But this is elaborated on a bit more in this way. If the Israelites were friends and allies of the Hyksos, as has often been argued, why were the Israelites then not expelled when the Hyksos were? See, the Hyksos ruled from about, as I mentioned, 1750, 1570. The Exodus didn't come until quite a time after that. If the Israelites were allied with the Hyksos, why weren't they expelled when the Hyksos were? The conclusion of the advocates of this earlier view is that the Israelites and the Hyksos were not allies, but they were antagonists. And that the Hyksos oppressed the Israelites during the time of their reign. So that the new king who knew not Joseph, who came in Exodus 1:8, represented the Hyksos rulers, who then in turn put oppression on the Israelites. All right, a third point is the statement in Exodus 1:10, which really follows that statement of the new king who knew not Egypt in 1:8. Actually 1:9 and 10, where that new king says, "The Israelites have become much too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country." The argument is that statement's hard to understand in the mouth of a native Egyptian. Now, there's some difference. I notice I'm reading from the King James, and that's a difference depending on how you translate. You see, I was reading from the NIV, excuse me. If you read in the King James, this argument is strengthened. Because in the King James, you read in 1:9, "The children of Israel are more and mightier than we." More and mightier than we. See, the NIV says, "The Israelites have become much too numerous for us." Now, if you're going to take that statement the way the King James translates it and push it in a very literal sense, the argument is it's not reasonable to suppose that the Israelites were more in number than the native Egyptians. It might be reasonable to assume that they were more in number than the Hyksos element who was dominating the land. Follow that. Gleason Archer, in his Survey of Old Testament Introduction, says it would have been the grossest exaggeration to assert that the Israelites were more numerous than the Egyptians. But it was quite possible that they were more numerous than the warrior caste of the Hyksos themselves. So the argument based on that statement of the numbers of Israelites relative to the Egyptians is used as an argument in favor of the Israelites coming prior to the Hyksos time. Then the new king was the Hyksos, and the oppression begins then when the Israelites became too strong and too numerous. Now, that's pretty much the way that this issue was debated. I think there certainly are things that can be said both for and against placing Joseph in the Hyksos period. The available evidence really doesn't, I don't think, give us a basis for a firm conclusion. We're going to have to come to that conclusion on something other than this kind of inferential material in Scripture. I don't think it settles it. Yes?
You mentioned earlier that the Hyksos were about 1750 to 1570.
Yeah.
Okay, so that third argument, then,
yeah,
you said it would make more sense coming out of the mouth of a Hyksos.
Yeah.
But if I recall correctly, that statement is right before the Exodus, right?
Yeah,
and now you're back to the
Exodus. Yeah, you have a very good point. We'll get to that when we discuss the date of the Exodus, because these two fit together. What most advocates of this earlier view will do, as well as advocates of the early date for the Exodus, because the two go together, they will say that there's a gap in chapter 1 between verses 14 and 15. You see, the new king comes on in verse 8 of chapter 1 of Exodus, and then the slave masters are placed over them. They built Python and Ramesses, but they multiply more. Beginning at verse 15, you have a continuation of further oppression, you might say. Now, what is argued is that there's a time gap there that's not apparent in the text. But it's about the only way that the early date view of the Exodus can hold those things together. And we'll come back to that point, because it's a very relevant point. It's a good question. We're going to get right back into this when we discuss the date of the Exodus. But you almost have to posit a gap there, because you have to move from the Hyksos time down into the 18th dynasty time of Thutmose.
The oppression still continues.
Yeah, so that when you had the Hyksos expelled and the native Egyptians, the assumption is the native Egyptians continued to oppress the Israelites much as the Hyksos had prior. But you see, that's an assumption. It's not at all clear in the text. So it's one, that's really a point in a sense that is a weak part of the early date view, because it requires that. It's not impossible. It's possible that is, you know, legitimate, but it's an assumption to make the view work. All right, I think in conclusion then on this question, we have to remember we're not altogether certain of the dating of Abraham, and thus of Joseph's entry into Egypt. We haven't yet looked at the problem of the date of the Exodus. I think that what we can say with certainty is that Joseph came into Egypt between 1900 and 1700. And that perhaps the Hyksos were already there. You see, the beginning of the Hyksos period is another thing of somewhat obscurity. I give you that 1750 date, but that's it's not firm. Egyptian chronology is pretty firm back to the time that the Hyksos were expelled. But the earlier Egyptian chronology there's dispute about it, not hard evidence, so that you can't precisely fix the date of the beginning of the Hyksos period. So I think what we can say is Joseph came into Egypt between 1900 and 1700. Perhaps the Hyksos were already there, but I don't think we can say much further than that with certainty. Okay, any questions on that? We're going to get back into this when we discuss the date of the Exodus, because they are related. Let's go on then to Romans 6 on your sheet, the deliverance from Egypt. which is Exodus 1 to 11.